Sister Watson were pastoring here. Linda and Becky and Debbie were practicing. And they called me and they said, we heard a noise. And we didn't have this door. We had another door that went that way. And so I came down, scared them, first of all. I knew they were a little uneasy. And we looked around. We looked, you know, in different places. Now, how many knows when you're looking for something, anything's going to scare you? And so we wondered, at the time, the room, there were several rooms here. So we looked in every room. We had the kitchen and two other rooms and the hallway. And then we went through and went up and we in the where the ladies used to gather for Bible study and prayer. We opened the door and there was someone laying on the floor with the heater in his face, sleeping. His name was Steve. He was a homeless guy that was, attended the church. And so Brother Watson had allowed him to come in off the street. It was cold. And there was, but you talk about scared. We all were scared. But he never woke up. He was very well asleep or something. Praise God. I appreciate your singing and appreciate the Spirit of God that is here today. He's wonderful to touch us. I prayed and I said, Lord, I really like to have an action-packed sermon this morning. And so he said, well, here it is. And I said, well, where's the action? I mean, this is Jesus teaching and there's not a story. It's here, 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 and here. And it's actually about don't worry. Not so much be happy, but we're going to close with that. We're going to steal a line. But in the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25 through 34, Jesus preaching on the mountain, the Sermon on the Mount. And the text of this is, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And when I asked, where's the action? The Lord said, the action is you getting with it and seeking the kingdom. Do not worry. Verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. How many's ever worried? I've worried since I'm 4 years old. I've worried about things I had no control over ever. And guess what? All of that worry has given and benefited nothing. Worry doesn't help. But we all worry. I'm not going to condemn you for worrying. I can't. But I'm just going to try to encourage us to approach it life differently. The words of Jesus. Don't worry about your life. What will you eat? Or what will you drink? Nor about your body, what you will put on. Has anyone ever worried about any of these things? Or all of these things, right? Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And I've heard stories of preachers sitting down to eat, not having anything to eat, and praying, and the Lord bring the food to the door. You say, well, that brings some concern. Yeah, but God supplies. We'd like to have a storehouse where we never had a need, but God supplies when the need arises. Look to the birds of the air. That's where I left off. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look to the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. I've heard preachers say that the richest man or woman in the world could not manage with all of their wealth enough to feed all of the birds of the earth. And you could see the logistics of that, because there are birds where there are no people. They can get places where people have never been, but God takes care of the birds. And then Jesus says, are you not more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, could add a cubit to his stature. I would like to be 2 inches taller. But Jesus has got it right. You can't worry into being taller. It doesn't work. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed or clothed like one of these. Solomon is the gold standard. Amen? Solomon was the most wealthy, the wisest man that ever lived. The things that he enjoyed and the things that he spoke and wrote are beyond most people's understanding. God gave him great wisdom because he asked for wisdom rather than kingdoms or money. God gave him great wisdom, but he also blessed him with a lot of money. The Queen of Sheba said, I've heard a lot about how wealthy you are, but the half has not been told. And yet Jesus says that Solomon, with all of his glory and all of that he had, was not arrayed like the lilies of the field. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? And then he speaks true words, O ye of little faith. Today we want to understand the greatness of our God. Amen? We want to understand our King. Jesus says, O ye of little faith, because we've all worried, we've all been concerned. And when he speaks of all of these things, therefore, verse 31, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, the ungodly seek these things, and it's such a priority to them. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for your word. Jesus, you spoke this to give us encouragement and hope. And Lord, a priority indeed, but Lord, a priority of where to start whenever we have a need, whenever we have a desire. Lord, you've opened your storehouse to us and said, come on in. I'm going to take care of you and I'm going to bless you. I pray, Lord, your blessing upon your people, your provision like we've never seen before. Indeed, open doors of supply, open doors of healing, open doors of your mercy, Lord Jesus, deliverance, grace. Set our lives, Lord, in a path of both blessing and strength and testimony of who you are. Let us grasp today your greatness. And let us remember and remember and remember how great thou art. We pray your strength in Jesus' name. Amen. So Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like the lilies of the field. Debbie and I planted a new front yard. We actually had someone plant it, but we picked out everything, and some of the things we picked out, we've unpicked out and picked out something else. And this week, I wrestled with the camellia bush It wasn't a bush. It was a big old tree with a trunk about like this. But that trunk about killed me on Wednesday, I think it was the day that I said, I'm going to get that out of the ground. And when I got it out of the ground, it had such a big hole. I said, I better plant the other one. Instead of having the gardener or the landscaper plant it, I just planted it myself. But we planted some lilies, and they're very, very pretty. God, in His creation, has done an awesome job. Wow! We were in Davenport on Friday night and Saturday morning, and we walked down Saturday or Friday evening to the beach. Debbie, you've got to look that scripture up, because at the end of the sermon, I was going to let Debbie alone this week, but I don't think so, because Debbie quoted a scripture, and I thought, wow, it's so amazing. People today worry about the ocean rising and covering cities. But you know what they're worried about? They're worried about an nth degree. It's going to rise a half an inch or something like that in so many years. I got to tell you, don't worry about it. God's got it under control. He's promised that He would control the ocean. And how many years have you gone to the beach and still the same beach, right? Tide may come and go, but it's all under the control of God. But how beautiful is the creation of God? There's something about sitting down by the water and listening and watching the waves. They're similar every time, but wow, what a refreshing time it is for us. It's ocean therapy. And if you say, well, I don't have an ocean nearby, we'll go to a river or a creek or a lake, and you feel the calm and the power, because God created all of these things. The beautiful flowers, the beautiful trees. And Debbie and I think we like succulents better than anything, which is pretty much just something green that comes up and not a lot of dazzle to them, but they're amazing. When there is a little dazzle, you think, wow, that's a pretty neat thing. God has created and clothed the grass of the field, and God has provided everything that we need. And then Jesus comes along and He says, there's a kingdom coming where you don't have to worry about eating or drinking. And I've been through times of need. And our oldest son, Doug, has gotten tired of macaroni and tomatoes or macaroni and cheese, whatever that dish were. We have plenty of that seemingly. And so we ate that several times, and God would send a blessing and we'd have something else. But God has provided what we need to drink, what we need to eat. And as much as people worry about water running out, we still have water. We still can get a drink out of the tap, and it's amazing. And God said, don't worry about what you're going to put on. And the commentary that I was reading, Jimmy Swaggart's commentary, says that means not only what you put on your body, but the house you live in. It also means the cars and your transportation and your education. In other words, it's life. Whatever you need in life, Jesus said, don't worry about it. Your Father will provide it. Father knows that you need all of these things. It's not a surprise to God when you ask for what you need. But Jesus said, this is the way to obtain what you need. What God knows that you need. Seek first the kingdom of God. I've always looked at this verse like, okay, priority, put God first. I heard a preacher this week, and I'm cynical. I don't know why, but I'm cynical. I heard this preacher said, his title was, who told you Jesus was your high priest? And I automatically got angry. I said, what are you talking about? Why are you even questioning that Jesus is the high priest? Well, when I listened a little bit, he wasn't questioning. He was preaching. Jesus is the high priest. Well, I got on board at that point because I agree. Jesus is the high priest. And I begin to think about how do you seek the kingdom of God? We know he is to be sought first. A kingdom is under the rule or the authority of a king. You want to be a citizen of a certain place, I guess you go there and apply. Or even better, if you're born there, then you're a part of that country. You're a citizen. Now, our country doesn't have kings. We have presidents that we vote in and out. We vote in, rather. Generally, not out. But a kingdom is not something that we enter into by seeking the citizenship. We need to seek the king. So in essence, seeking the kingdom of God is seeking Christ, the king. God sent the king to us. So indeed it's priority. But what we're seeking is Jesus and his righteousness. There's a lot been mentioned about children because of the border thing this week. I'm going to try to stay away from that because I feel strongly about many of these things. But Jesus said that if you're going to really become a part of the kingdom, you need to seek as a child. Because a child is dependent upon parents. And if the child has no parents, a relative, if they have no relatives, a stranger. Children are dependent. And when they put their trust in someone, it's wholehearted. Our children should not be taught not to trust people. Some say, well, and there's a lot of isolated, you know, children today because they're taught to fear everything. They should be taught to trust the right people and to have a bit of judgment toward the wrong people because children have to be protected. I'm not saying send them out with any stranger, not at all, but teach them that they can trust some people and teach them that they have to be careful of other people. But that's a way of Christians too, because sometimes Christians are gullible like children. They just trust anybody that speaks the name of Jesus. We have to be careful. We want to trust the right people. And Jesus said that if you'll come to me as a child, you'll come to Jesus with that full trust, then you can become a part of the kingdom. Otherwise, you may not get there. How do we seek Jesus? By seeing him in the Word of God, who he is, and accepting everything that the Word says about Jesus. How do we seek Jesus? We seek him through prayer, knowing. Like I said, the door was open today. I feel like the prayers that we prayed, the Lord not only heard them, but there's movement already in him taking action. We know him through praise and worship. And what a wonderful praise and worship we had this morning, speaking of the holiness of God, which compels us to praise him. The scripture says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I don't see, well, we can't wait upon the Lord by just sitting like a knot on the log, right? Just sitting, okay, God, come on, God. Let's see some action, God. Waiting upon the Lord is more like this. I surrender to you, Lord. That's how we wait upon the Lord. The action is ours and not in God. God's promise. Jesus said, you won't have to worry about it. He said, not only don't worry about today, don't even start to worry about tomorrow. Boy, that knocks me in the head. I've worried about a lot of tomorrows. I've been in construction business for so long, and I'm going to tell you what, it's been up and down. I haven't seen a consistency. I wish I had, but I haven't seen that. I've seen up and down. And then not only that, but we've had to worry about the rain. Oh my goodness, how I've hated rain. People say, well, we need the rain. I'm thinking, no, we don't. We don't need it tomorrow because I've got a roof open and I don't want to see any rain. In all the things that we've done, and as I look back, God has both provided and he's also kept the rain from hurting us too badly. And for that, I'm thankful. The action is ours to seek the Lord, seek Jesus. Jesus is our everything. He is our high priest. As the brother preached, and I jumped too quickly to the wrong conclusion, he is our everything. He is the kingdom of God. He is our access. He is the door. He is the gate. He is the way. And he's the only way. There's no other way. I heard Brother Falwell, before he passed away, of course before he passed away, spoke to a guy and he said, there's only one way and that's Jesus. This guy was trying to say, oh, there's many ways to God. And Brother Falwell said, there is one way to God. And that is Jesus Christ. So we've got to seek Jesus. When I go somewhere, anywhere, I like to explore. Anyone else like to explore? When we went to Shasta, I like the water and it's fine, but I also like going up the trails and seeing what's there. I've been scared a few times when I knew bears was in the area and I thought, what was that I heard? You know, you want to hear everything if you're in bear country, right? And I knew one thing, I was quick, but I wasn't quicker than the bear. The bear was faster. But the other day when we were at the beach, there was a place I wanted to get to look at a tunnel because I couldn't see it all the way. And I could see that the waves would come up and they would go out. And then I also saw right close to the other side, there was a little, you know, about something like that, where it didn't seem like the water quite emptied out, right? So I started running across there trying to keep my tennis shoes wet. And when I got to the no return and it was on the other side, I got my tennis shoes wet up to about almost halfway up to my knees, but I couldn't turn back because it was too late. I couldn't beat the wave. And when I got over there, I looked and I couldn't see a thing better than what I saw before. But I like to look around and see what's kind of like Daniel Boone, what's on the other side of that hill. What, you know, if this is nice, how much nicer is that? And that's the way we need to seek God, through Jesus Christ. And that's to explore every opportunity and every way that we can to know him better, to know him, to really understand. Jesus is the only way. The scripture says he's wonderful. He's counselor. He's mighty God. He's everlasting Father, and he's Prince of Peace. Another thing is he's the creator of all things. The Bible says without him, anything that's made would not have been made. He created it all. So when we go to God and we ask for different healings, he knows about that part of you because he created it. He can heal, he can strengthen, he can deliver. And as we said this morning during prayer, there's a lot of people that have issues with mental health. And it's not something to scoff at or, you know, just straighten up. It's beyond that. People are overwhelmed with what's going on in their mind. I have an aunt that got in such a bad state of mind that they put her in a place. I want to be careful how I, you know, in Kentucky, it's Danville, where the Danville, we didn't call it Danville, we were, in Danville was where we had our place, people went when they needed help. Here it is, what's that place I can't remember any of those places. Huh? Valley Med, but way years ago there was a place down the road, up the road, Agnews. And then Napa. I grew up in Oakland and San Leandro, and Napa was known as a place to help. But I want to tell you that God that created this mind can bring healing, peace, and comfort. And I think a lot of people that Jesus delivered had mental issues, and he healed them. God can heal. Jesus can heal. He is the creator of all things. Many of the blessings that's promised in the Old Testament, a lot in Isaiah, are referring to the time when Jesus comes again to rule the earth after the Battle of Armageddon, set up his 1,000-year reign upon the earth. But I don't see any blessing that's in the Old Testament, any blessing that's forward into the time of millennial reign that we cannot have today, because Jesus is our door to those blessings. This citizenship is not like anything that's on this earth, because citizenship in the kingdom of God is eternal. It's eternal. Whenever you said yes to Jesus, anyone want to say yes to Jesus? Yes, 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 Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. It's a good thing for us. But when we come, when we've come and we've opened our heart, no matter what the age, you start an eternal journey. And it won't end when this life ends. It will go on beyond and way beyond. There's some people whose doctrine I question. I say they're going to spend the first 10,000 years in the corner with a dunce cap on. That's just me. God's merciful. He won't do that. But there are some doctrines that just absolutely don't help things out. And I believe that God, it's in God's hand. But God's opened the door. God's opened the door for people to be blessed and to strengthen right now, and for the Spirit to flow in our lives. We don't want to cut off any of those blessings. Citizenship is eternal. All the provisions forever. No need of money. We're never going to run short in heaven. All the healing, the health, and the life that you need is so abundant in the kingdom of God. It's belonging to a family, it's belonging to a group. The scripture talks about tribes and nations and every tongue, and all of the praise and the glory will go to the Lord, because the Lord's reached to everyone. Amen? So seeking Jesus. I listened to a song this week, and there's a number of songs that come to mind, and the one that I heard was by Kim Coleman, and it was, Oh What a Name, the Name of Jesus. There's several songs along that line. What a name. Because the name of Jesus is what gets us in to the kingdom of God. Years ago, we had a brother in our church that sang, Oh What a Savior. And oh, I liked his version. I really did. I thought he had a great voice. And I loved to hear him sing, Oh What a Savior. And then you listen to the quartets, and there's some of those guys, Ernie Haas is one of them, that takes that to an amazing level. How many has YouTube? YouTube is where to go to listen to some of these great songs. It's amazing. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Jesus is the way. And we need to realize that we need, beyond everything, the first thing we do is seek the Lord. We need to eat. Some of you are saying, we need to eat in a while. Boy, what happened to my time? I think it's gone. We need to eat. We need to have a place to be, to stay, to live. We need a house. We need a car, or in my case, we need a truck, or two trucks. I got two old trucks. Probably I need one newer truck, but God knows what we have need of. He knows what we need, and He will take care of that, but our getting to the point of our needs met is seeking Jesus. The prosperity message tells you all kinds of things of what to think. Well, Jesus dealt with that. He said, you think all you want to, you're not going to get any taller. You're not going to, well. Jesus said that it's not in our control of what we think, or for that matter, it's not mentioned, but I'll just say it. What we say, what we confess, what matters is that we seek the kingdom first, that we seek Jesus. So the prosperity, you want to get rich? Seek Jesus. He'll take care of what He has planned for you. In 3 John 2, this is a big scripture that's quoted often. Beloved, I wish that in every way you may succeed and prosper and be in good health physically. Wonderful verse, wonderful promise. But it says, just as I know your soul prospers spiritually. What is it saying? Seek Jesus. Debbie, do you want to share now? It's a good time. This scripture that Debbie came up with the other day, and I thought, wow, it is so great.
I think it's on. Okay. Well, he didn't ask me to give commentary on what he just preached, but I could, but I won't. Especially about the yard. That's been such a process. Wow. We've had this camellia bush for as long as we've lived in the house, and it's grown. And I told the gardener, I hate this bush. I don't like the look of it. Can you shape it and make it look like a tree? He said, no. I said, well, the lady next door has 3 that looks like a tree, and they're beautiful. Why can't mine look like that? Because hers has a single stalk, and yours has a whole bunch of them. Well, I don't care about that. Make the top look like a tree. So he did. I still hated it. So when we started redoing the yard, I said, Jim, this tree has to go. It doesn't match anything in the yard now. It's ugly. And just please, can we get rid of it? Okay, fine. Well, then we had a problem with the landscaper, only had a certain amount of time, and he didn't finish everything. He still hasn't finished everything. And I kept saying, that tree has got to go. That has to go. So Jim got out there, and he's serious when he said it really took a lot out of him to do that work. It was a hot day, and he slaved over getting that stump out. And no kidding, it was that big around. It was huge. But the Japanese maple that's sitting there now in its place is gorgeous. So it was well worth it. But yesterday, as we drove by the ocean, which I could literally live on, we were just commenting on the beauty and the grandeur and the coolness. It was 66 degrees. It was so beautiful. And I said to Jim, every time I see this sight, the scripture in Job 38, starting in verse 4, where God has heard Job's complaints, he's answering him and saying, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you know. Who has laid the measures thereof, if you know? Or who stretched the line upon it, whereupon are the foundations there fastened to? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with doors, when it brake forth as if it had issued out of a womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and the thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break it up for it my decreed place, break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shall you come, but no further. And here shall thou proud waves be stayed. I just love that. God has all power. That's what I was praying this morning when we were singing such a beautiful worship time. Thank you. God can do anything we have faith to believe him for. And I just want to have that kind of faith that God looks at and says, okay, I'll do it. So bless you.
You can go to the piano. Yeah, I want to say with Debbie, I appreciate Audrey and Becky leading our worship. Thank you so much. You are faithful to that. And it's such a blessing to come and worship the Lord and feel the Spirit of God. And I don't tell them what to sing. A lot of times it works with the Word. Sometimes it always works, though. And I appreciate that. Thank you for hearing God. Jesus told Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a leader in Israel. Jesus said, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, how can I, being a grown man, be born again? Jesus said, you got the wrong idea. I'm not talking about a rebirth naturally or physically, but spiritually. I want you to know me and have a relationship and be born again into the Spirit of God, where we have faith in who Jesus is, seeking the King. Philippians 4, 6 through 7, Amplified Bible says, do not be anxious or worried about anything. I know, I've read this, but I still have a problem. But in everything, in every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, that's important. We got to be thankful for what God's done. With thanksgiving, continue to make your specific. God cares about the details. Let your specific requests known unto God, and the peace of God, the peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your enemies and your minds in Christ Jesus, that peace is yours. So, I got a little fish that sings, don't worry, be happy. Billy the Bass, I think it is. I got all kinds of fish. My grandkids were young when those things come out. I've got a fish, a crab, a shrimp, a catfish. Every one of them sings something different. But don't worry, be happy. Rather, be happy seeking Jesus. Otherwise, happiness really won't happen. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for mercy, and I pray blessing upon your people. We want, Lord, to seek your kingdom. We really want to seek you. We want to seek you, Lord, in every way possible. We want to know you more. We want to love you more. Every time we come to church, we want to feel your Spirit and get more into submitting ourselves to you in obedience to your Spirit. Lord, we want to feel and know your right there with us, right here with us. I pray blessing. You see the needs and how they hurt us, Lord. How it seems to push against our lives and our living and even our testimony. But Lord, you've promised that you'll take care of it. And we want to just relax in you and have faith. We want to turn worry into trust. You've promised. We've got to do our part. And when we do, bring blessing. I pray that you'll touch every soul that's here today. Lord, I pray that you'll bring peace that passes all understanding, and that you'll allow us in this Christian walk in life, Lord, just to lean on you with all that we are. And when we see a trouble that's beyond us, begin to praise your greatness and your glory. And let our worry turn to faith and our faith turn to victory. I pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to pray this morning. Seek the Lord at your seats. Or if you want to find a place and kneel, that's fine too. But let's just spend a bit of time surrendering, opening our hearts. And if there's something that's a big cloud, if we have a big cloud today, you'd be thankful. But if there's a big cloud of darkness in our life, then let's just magnify Jesus for what he's going to do in that situation. Let's join together in prayer. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Years ago, there was a commercial on TV. I don't even remember what it was, but it was part of it. An old fella, older than me, came on and said, "It's complicated." I think life is complicated, but that's why we have Jesus. He takes care of complications. And I'm so glad He loves us. I'm so glad that He wants us to give Him our care and our worry. Let's pray blessing for today. Lord, bless Your people. We want to go with Your mercy and Your grace and victory in our heart. And I pray, Lord, that Your word lift us up. And I pray, Lord, that we get hope. And Lord, that that hope turns into a faith, and faith again into victory. We love You. We love You, Jesus. We want every effort that we make to be seeking You and bringing glory to Your name. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord.